Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners. In today's podcast, we bring you an experience-sharing article from the 9th China Fahui on Minghui.org, entitled Clarifying the Truth Repeatedly to Government Officials, by a practitioner from Inner Mongolia, China.
Minghui Fahui, Clarifying the Truth Repeatedly to Government Officials, by a practitioner from Inner Mongolia, China. I live in the countryside of Inner Mongolia and am in my 70s. In 1999, when the persecution of Falun Gong just started, I was held in a detention center. In the detention center, the head of the 610 office asked me if I had any requests. I replied with three. First, to immediately revoke the call to extradite teacher back to China. Second, to restore the reputation of Falun Dafa. Third, to give us a legal environment for cultivation. After I was released, I went to the community center, local police station, town government, municipal committee, and the 610 office in order to clarify the truth. I wasn't afraid. I only felt that those Chinese Communist Party, CCP members, were very pathetic because they believed the CCP's lies and were irrational. I wanted to explain the facts about Falun Gong to them in order to save them. I'd like to share some of my experiences and let people know that the real victims of this persecution are those who don't know the truth. Falun Dafa practitioners are not the real victims. Clarifying the truth to the town government. The communist regime intensified the persecution of Falun Gong in 2001. Many practitioners who were coordinators were monitored and followed, including myself. I traveled by train to my nephew's home in December 2001. As soon as I took my seat, several people from the local police station, township government, and the community center approached me. They asked me where I was going. I replied, to Liaoning province. They asked, have you applied to leave the township? You have to follow us to the township government and apply for leave. I thought that this was exactly where I'd been thinking of going for some time. Today, I was asked to go there, so I went. Mayor Yang came out to meet me when I arrived at the town government building. I told the mayor that one family in my village was robbed, and a lot of cashmere clothing in their home was stolen. The police didn't search for the thief, but instead made the family invite them to dinner, where they asked for bribes. The mayor was very surprised that an elderly lady from the country knew such details. I told them that if everyone practiced Falun Gong, then those robberies wouldn't have happened. Many people were nearby listening to us. Someone asked me how many years I had gone to school. I simply replied that I was an elderly lady. Clarifying the truth on buses. One day, I was riding a long-distance bus when I announced to the passengers, I practice Falun Gong. If you have any questions, please come over and I'll answer them for you. Three young men changed their seats and sat near me as soon as I finished speaking. One asked, what does Falun Gong mean? Is it like what the TV said? I explained that Falun Gong is a very good practice and teaches people to be good according to the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. They asked about the meaning of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance, so I explained that to them. I also told them about the effectiveness of Falun Gong in curing diseases and keeping people fit. I shared how I couldn't see well before, nor could I read a newspaper. I went for an examination in the hospital and was told that my internal organs were aging. I asked for a prescription, but they said that there was no medication to cure aging. After practicing Falun Gong, I can read even very tiny words. Several elderly people said, Since Falun Gong is so good, we want to learn. I said, okay, then come to my home to learn. I will not ask for a single penny from you. I gave them my home address, and they believed me even more. Whether I was on a city bus or long-distance bus, I always tried my best to clarify the truth to people. If anyone on the bus knew me, they'd usually ask why I looked younger. I then explained that it was due to practicing Falun Gong. Every time I say that I practice Falun Gong, I'm so proud of myself and feel like I'm on the top of the world. I rode buses 3 times one morning in 2008. However, each time I boarded a bus, it turned out to be the same bus. The driver and the bus attendant laughed as soon as they saw me again. I laughed as well. I said that we definitely had a predestined relationship. I then clarified the truth on the bus. I told them the story of the ancient stone with 6 carved Chinese characters that read, "The Chinese Communist Party perishes," discovered in Guizhou province. I also explained the facts about the Tiananmen self-immolation incident. I stated that it was impossible that heaven would not punish such an evil party. Clarifying the truth to the head of the 610 office. On September 28, 2012, my nephew was very sick and wanted to see his wife, a Falun Gong practitioner who was detained in a women's forced labor camp. I went to the detention center but was told to go to the 610 office. I took this opportunity to see the head of the 610 office and went to the municipal government building. Over the door of one room hung a sign that said, 610 Office. I knocked on the door and entered the office. I explained that my nephew was very sick and wanted to see his wife, who was being held in the forced labor camp. The forced labor camp officials wouldn't allow her to go home to visit her sick husband. The labor camp officials said that she would not be allowed to go home, even if her husband died. The head of the 610 office asked, "Do you practice Falun Gong?" I replied that I did. He asked, "What level have you reached?" I then clarified the truth to him. 2 plainclothes officers came in and said, "You don't talk about Falun Gong here." I replied, "What's wrong with Falun Gong? You can talk about the corruption, bribery, and other things, so why can't I talk about Falun Gong, which teaches people to be good?" They couldn't stop me. The head of the 610 office didn't say a word. I asked him, "What does 610 office do?" He said, "It monitors the law." I asked, "What specifically does it monitor then?" He said, "It specializes in monitoring Falun Gong." I said, "Do not commit bad deeds and accrue karma. Falun Gong practitioners are good people. Why do you monitor them?" He didn't reply. Following our conversation, I often made phone calls to this head of the 610 office. One practitioner was arrested and held in the detention center. I called the 610 office head and said, "You arrested practitioners again. Was it you that arrested them?" He replied, "No, I didn't arrest anyone. It was not me." I asked, "Was it the State Security Bureau?" He said, "No, it was the Public Security Bureau." I asked, "Who in the Public Security Bureau arrested our practitioner?" He said, "There are over 300 on staff there. I don't know who." I said, "Don't arrest our practitioners anymore. Every day I say Falun Dafa is good to you many times. Why do you still commit bad deeds and accrue karma? When the time comes, nobody will be able to save you." The practitioner was detained for some time, then released. He was not sentenced to a forced labor camp or prison. During the Chinese New Year, I text messaged the head of the 610 office to remember Falun Dafa is good and do more good things, and wished prosperity for his family. He replied and wished me safety and that everything goes well. Clarifying the truth to the local People's Congress director. In the spring of 2010, I went along with another practitioner to the Municipal People's Congress to clarify the truth. As soon as we pushed open the office door of the People's Congress, we said, "We want to speak to the head of your organization, to the chairman." The director was in his 40s. He said that the chairman was not in and that we could talk to him about anything. I sat down on the sofa and said, "It is said that the People's Congress takes the best care of local people and is also the best place to express our concerns. My grandson works in Beijing. He brought home a different woman with him every year. Who is responsible for judging this matter?" He explained that this was a family matter and they didn't take care of that. I stood up and said in earnest, "What's going on in this society? The police don't crack down on gambling and prostitution, but they persecute Falun Gong practitioners who try to be good according to the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance." He asked, "Are you practicing Falun Gong?" When I said I was, he said, "A few years ago, when I was in the police department, I could detain you immediately." I said, "In those years, you didn't know what Falun Gong was. Now you know. Falun Gong teaches people to be good, do good deeds, not bad deeds. You will not arrest us even if you're asked to." My fellow practitioner then shared with him that she'd previously suffered from many diseases and that 1/3 of her stomach had been removed. Now she is free from illness and her family life is harmonious. I clarified the truth to him, then asked him to withdraw from the CCP because heaven will eventually eliminate the Communist Party. Finally, he opened the door and saw us off. I told him to remember that Falun Dafa is good and that he would then be protected if disaster struck. We gestured in respect to him, and he did the same to us. On the second occasion, the same practitioner and I went to see the director with the excuse of questioning electricity charges. A woman greeted us. I said, "The electricity rates in the countryside are over 80 cents, while in the city it's only 40 cents. That is unfair. The villagers have a hard life, and there are calamities and disasters every year. No one in the village dares to come here because they're afraid of the government. I am a Falun Gong practitioner. Our master told us to be good persons and think of others first in any circumstance, so we've come to talk to you." She was interested in Falun Gong and asked, "How do you do the Falun Gong exercises?" I asked my fellow practitioner to show her the sitting meditation. She said that the blood would not circulate while her legs were so tightly crossed. I said, "No, Falun Gong exercises can open up every energy channel in your body, enabling you to eliminate illness." We then clarified the truth to her. I went to the Electricity Bureau building in 2001 to pay the electricity bill. The assistant told me the cost of electricity was lowered to 45 cents, the same price as in the city. I know that Falun Dafa brought benefits to the people in the village, so I wanted to take this opportunity to see the government officials again. I went to see the office director. I said to her, "I'd like to thank you on behalf of the people in our village. The cost of electricity is down now." She felt a bit uneasy because she hadn't done anything. I then clarified the truth to her. I left the office, then went directly to see the chairman of the Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference. He was previously the party secretary in our village. He said, "You look younger." I explained that this was due to my Falun Gong practice. I gave him the book, Heavenly Beings Present in This World, before I left. I went back to the municipal committee to see a director by the name of Bao and wanted to discuss the issue of electricity costs with him. I expressed my thanks to him, and he made some official statements as well. I said, "Officials like you are very rare now." He agreed, and I immediately clarified the truth to him. I said that if everyone behaved according to the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance, the world would be a better place. He became instantly alert. I asked him if he thought that what I said was reasonable. I explained many facts about Falun Gong. He listened but didn't say anything. In the end, I gave him a truth clarification DVD and he accepted it. Distributing DVDs in the Township Government Office. In March this year, I went to the Township Government and gave the director two DVDs. One was 10 Directions of Ming Wei. which told a story of Ye Hao, a former senior official in the CCP Police Department. The other was Let Us Tell the Future. I then went to the Environment Department Director's Office. I said to the clerk, "Didn't you say that you don't quite know about Falun Gong? So let Ye Hao, a formal senior official in the police department, tell you." The director took the DVD and put it into his computer. I went to another office and gave a young man a DVD. He said, "I just joined the CCP. I will not watch it." I said to him that even if he joined the CCP, he still had to save his life. Finally, he accepted the DVD. I went back to see the director of the township government and asked him if he'd watched the DVD. He said that the DVD wouldn't play. I suggested that he ask the director of the environment department. He then found somebody else and managed to play the DVD. I went to the local police station and saw the director. I told him that my nephew was very sick and wanted his wife to be released from the detention center. The director said, "What else do you want me to do? If Falun Gong is not allowed, then you shouldn't practice it." I said, "Embezzlement is not allowed. Why do people still do it?" He said that those who were guilty would be arrested for embezzlement. I said, "I mentioned this to your party secretary. He said that everyone at the level of section chief or above is guilty of embezzlement." He didn't allow me to continue. He led me to the political instructor's office and let him deal with the matter. I saw a copy of the book Falun Dafa, Teaching the Fa, at the conference in Switzerland. The director asked the political instructor who was reading the book. He replied that it was just recently collected. After the director left, I took out a DVD and gave it to the instructor. He said, "Do you want it back?" Several months ago, I wanted to give a DVD to the director of the 610 office, but I didn't have one with me. So I went to see the instructor and asked him to return the DVD I'd previously given to him. This time, he wanted to know if I wanted the DVD back. I said, "No, I won't ask for it back this time. Please give it to others after you finish watching." Police station director finally accepts DVD. I visited the police station director again, but he wasn't happy to see me and didn't want to talk to me. I didn't take it to heart. He said, "Quickly, say what you want." I said, "Let's go to your office and talk." I said to him in his office, "You said you didn't quite understand Falun Gong." I took out a DVD. "I give you this DVD, which is about Ye Hao, a former senior official in the Central Police Department. He talks about Falun Gong, so let him explain about Falun Gong." He said, "At your age, why don't you stay at home? Why do you go out? The central government gave orders that Falun Gong is not allowed." I replied calmly, "Where is the central government document? Please show me." He said the government already stated that it was an evil cult. I said that Liu Shaoqi, the former vice chairman of the country, was once charged as a traitor, a disgusting person, and a secret agent. Now, his name has been cleared. The director took out his mobile phone and made a call. I asked him if he'd called someone. He said he hadn't, but soon after a policeman came in and asked, "Anything I can do?" However, the director replied, "No." The policeman asked again, and the director said, "No, nothing." I said to him, "If you don't want to watch the DVD, then return it to me. I risked my life to give you this DVD. You even called the police to hassle me." The director knew he was on the wrong side, and he eased up a bit. He said that he would have a look and study it. Finally, he kept the DVD. We regularly clarify the truth to different departments of the CCP government through practitioners' close cooperation. Many CCP members have come to know the truth and no longer persecute DAFA practitioners. Some government officials call practitioners or their families to remind them that the CCP will take action against practitioners and ask them to be careful and be fully prepared. This is my experience sharing of truth clarification activities to government officials and the police department. Please point out anything inappropriate.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.